The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. New York, did you see the show Kyrie Irving put on last night? What about Julius Randle? Is New York still a Knicks town? Did it already flip to Nets and now the Knicks are making noise? 888-729-3776. LA knows about Julius Randle. Remember that draft? Lakers win a meaningless game against the Celtics, but they don't want to tank against the Celtics. And so the Celtics get Marcus Smart, and then the Lakers take Randle right after him, and that looked like Randle really was not a Marcus Smart level player. And now 888-729-3776, the Max Kellerman Show, is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Speaking of the Lakers, they got their first game without AD tonight. We're going to get into that coming up, but we got to start with last night, of course. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Kyrie Irving, 40 points.
Shooting guard!
The guy, they say when it rains, it pours. You guys set a franchise record with 27 made three-pointers in this game.
I mean, Kyrie is the best show in the NBA. You know, I've been critical of Kyrie because he said a bunch of just stupid stuff and confusing stuff in his career. And I keep hearing about how smart he's an intelligent guy and everything, and I just don't hear evidence of it in public, at least. But one thing, and I've said it different times, he's a weapon to be deployed by LeBron in Cleveland. He's not really Robin to his Batman. He's not Pippen to his Jordan. Kyrie thinks he's better than he really is. But even through all that, I've been pretty low on Kyrie at times. Pretty down on him at times. But one thing is for sure, and I never said any different. Two things. One, Kyrie is arguably the most skilled player in the history of basketball. That's one. He's in that conversation. And I've never said any. The wisdom to deploy those skills at the right time, that's a separate story. But in terms of skill level, he's right there with the best I've ever seen. And two, he's the best show in the NBA. This dude puts on a show. By the way, the kind of show that even James Harden, who knows a thing or two about putting on a show, although it's not as exciting as Kyrie's, Harden's a lot of free throw shooting and Euro stepping and step back threes, right? Not as spectacular as Kyrie, but Harden's one of the all-time great scorers. James Harden had this to say about being Kyrie's teammate and watching him.
It's a movie. It's like a show. Sometimes I forget I'm on the court, you know. I mean, he makes something so effortless. One of the reasons why I'm here, because it's so easy, obviously for myself, but he makes the game so easy for the rest of the team. When he has it going like that, obviously we're scoring at a high level, but he's so unselfish. Once he starts getting double teamed and surrounded, he's able to find his shooters in his big. So we love to see it.
That's the kind of stuff, at least in the beginning, that people used to say about Kobe, his own teammates. Yeah, sometimes I get caught standing around watching him. It's kind of what Harden's saying. It's like I'm watching a show. There's no question that's true about Kyrie. And the fact that Kyrie tells Harden, you're the point guard, I'm the shooting guard, is right. I told everyone before this season started, when we talked about how, like, who's going to have to sacrifice what, Harden and Kyrie, plus with KD, right? Or at least when the James Harden trade happened, not before the season started, but when the Harden trade happened, that it was going to have to be Harden that sacrificed touches. Harden was going to be the guy that sacrificed touches. And he, by the way, he has been, or at least shots, and he has been. Harden has proven to everybody so far the kind of unselfish winning kind of player he is. And Kyrie, good Lord, now not having to run the offense, he can just do his thing. Whew, are these dudes good? Do you know how long it's been since New York could feel this good about a team? I mean, the Patrick Ewing Knicks, don't get me wrong. You could take pride in those teams. Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, Derek Harper and Doc Rivers at different times, right? John Starks and just hard, grinding kind of players, blue-collar players. But in terms of just the joy of watching an offensive explosion, oh, my God. And then, by the way, when it finally happens in New York, it ain't on the Knicks, right? The Nets have taken over. And then all of a sudden, here come the Knicks, a game under 500. Julius Randle is shooting, he's shooting 4 or 5 threes a game now, way more than he's ever shot before, hitting 40% of them. Is this sustainable? Dropping 44 last night, by the way, as active on the boards as ever, still needs a right hand, but as active on the boards as ever. Now, the Knicks, everyone's celebrating, oh my God, but they're a game under 500. The Nets have championship aspirations. The Knicks are a game under 500. But let me ask you something, because the Knicks just won the third in the row, their third in a row, New York. Is it still in Knicks town? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Let me tell you about my rooting interests, because in New York, I root for the Nets. No one in New York ever rooted for the Nets since Dr. J left town, right? Since they were in the ABA, because they moved to Jersey. And the Knicks were the only game in town. They were running unopposed. They're like a politician running unopposed. There's no one else that he's saying, of course he's going to win. They were running unopposed. And so Dolan could treat the fans any which way he wanted. What choice did you have? But then a team grows in Brooklyn. The Nets move to Brooklyn. And now there's an option. Now, let me tell you what happened to me. ESPN wanted me to do a radio show in L.A. And I thought to myself, this is going back to 2009, close to 2010. And I thought to myself, all right, can I live in L.A. and do a local show? Well, I was doing HBO Boxing at the time, and I wound up doing Sports Nation out there. But when it comes to radio, to me, if you're the local guy, you should be rooting for the local team. Don't be the local guy and, like, have little secret resentments towards the local team or really have a rooting interest elsewhere. So I thought to myself, all right, I'm a Yankees fan. I ain't giving that up. But the Dodgers are in L.A. I don't have a National League rooting interest. I could root for the Dodgers in L.A. originally from Brooklyn. Don Mattingly was the manager at the time. Why not? Now, in football, there was no professional team at the time there. I'm not giving up my New York football Giants. But could I root for SC football? Yeah, why not? They're a great franchise or a great program. And in terms of college basketball rooting interest, St. John's hasn't been relevant for so many years. No more Big East. Could I root for the Bruins? Of course I could. UCLA? Sure. None of those things were conflicts or issues. The issue came down to, could I give up the Knicks? I had to think about that for a couple days, because I really think if you're going to be in L.A. doing radio, you need to be a Lakers fan. And I thought about it for a couple days, and I had an epiphany one day. I thought, what am I doing? Can I root for the Lakers? At the time, I was late 30s. Well, I'm 47 now, mid-late 30s. I thought to myself, this whole time, the Knicks haven't won a single championship. The Lakers were in the middle of back-to-back titles at the time with Kobe and Gasol. What am I doing? I have a chance to be a Lakers fan? And Jim Dolan doesn't look like he's ever going to sell the team. He's running them into the ground. Done. I'm done. I'm handing in my Knicks card. Give me that Lakers one. I'm a Lakers fan. That's how I felt and feel. Oh, what a pleasure it is to be a Lakers fan. I never understood that. People moved to play. So I moved to L.A. I became a Lakers fan. Duh. A lot of people move to L.A. from Boston or wherever. They can't bring themselves to root for the Lakers, but they want to support the home team. They become Clippers fans. People in New York, too. They move to New York. Oh, I can't root for the Yankees. All right, I'll be a Mets fan. What are you, insane? You get to be a Yankees fan? You turn that down? You get to be a Lakers fan? No, you want to root for little brother? You got to be crazy. So anyway, I'm a Lakers fan. Now, the team moved to Brooklyn. As far as I have a rooting interest in New York, Brooklyn Nets, Knicks fans. What has that team ever done for you? I used to wait online, literally like the definition of a blockbuster. It went around the block for playoff tickets. The night they became available, you used to have to camp out online. Me and my late great brother Sam. And we would wait online all night to get a couple of playoff tickets to the Knicks games, right? You know why? Because Charles Oakley was diving on the hardwood, getting those loose balls. That same Charles Oakley escorted from Madison Square Garden by Jim Dolan. Security dudes who didn't even want to do it, but like they have a job to do, right? Signs their checks. Have to take Oakley out of Madison Square Garden? No. I'm all done with the Knicks, but I know a lot of people in New York aren't. Is it more a Nets town now with a big three. They have championship aspirations. Brooklyn hasn't had a championship since the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1955, or a team since Brooklyn left in the late 50s. No basketball championships in the NBA since 73. That's the year I was born. Even in the ABA since 76, was it? Right, when the Nets won? I mean, so it's a Nets town, right? But as soon as the Knicks win three in a row and they're a game under 500 and they're playing hard, maybe it's still a Knicks town. The Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Jets fans, in about 20 minutes, I've got a way to fix the Jets. Just leave it to your Uncle Max. I figured out a way to fix the Jets. It's going to take 2 years, three before they really become a powerhouse, but they can be a powerhouse. But first, I want to take some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got to get into the Anthony Davis stuff, L.A. We got to get into the Anthony Davis stuff. Not to mention the Dak Prescott stuff, Dallas. It's a lot to do today. All right. Dave. Well, no, I'm not going to get to Dave from Philly first. He's got an opinion about let's get to a New Yorker first. Robert from the Bronx, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, what's going on?
Go ahead, Robert.
So I want to answer your question whether or not this is a Knicks town or a Nets town. It's kind of a simple answer, right? It's kind of like if you're from L.A., you grew up in L.A., been a Dodgers fan your whole life, and then you have transplants come to L.A., but you've been struggling at being a Dodgers fan forever, watch them be terrible. Now, the one time that they're actually good, you got these people coming from out of town, now all of a sudden they're Dodgers fans. No.
Yeah.
It's never going to be. We're never going to agree with that. That's why it's always going to be a Knicks town. Yeah, Brooklyn is nice. They're the new shiny toy in town, whatever, but they never really had the struggle like us. So the
Robert, I just got to tell you, hold on. Robert, that's just a terrible analogy. Wait a minute. You're saying when people go to L.A., they shouldn't be bandwagon fans because they haven't suffered with the Dodgers for years the way real L.A. Dodgers fans have suffered. But now you're trying to make an analogy with the Nets, saying what, since the Nets just got to New York, they're somehow like the transplant to L.A. who shouldn't root for the Dodgers? First of all, Dodgers fans will take all the fans they can get. The Dodgers franchise wants all the fans they can get, including the transplant and the bandwagon fans. That's number one. Number two, the analogy doesn't work. The Nets got to New York, and Prokhorov immediately wanted to field a winner, but he didn't go about it smartly, so he put a good product on the floor, but not a great one. The Nets learned from this, and under new ownership, have gone about it a smarter way. They started to build a healthy culture that was attractive because of the media market and through free agents, and they put a super team together. That's what the Nets have just done. Robert from the Bronx. Let's try Dave from Philly. Make more sense, Dave from Philly.
What's going on, Max? Why you had to do me like that, man? I'm originally from Jersey, by the way. I just
all
wanted
right.
to say that.
All right. You kept moving south. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Long-time Nets fan here. I just wanted to say that, you know, even though the Nets are, you know, having a good season so far, it's still a Knicks town. You know, the Knicks have the history there. They have the prestige. And even when the Nets was playing in Jersey, they were still part of that New York metropolitan market.
And with the Nets moving
to Brooklyn. I'm sorry.
Petrovic and these guys. Yeah. No one really rooted for the Nets in New York. They weren't an option for. They are now because they are in Brooklyn. And by the way, I just need to say this. If the Brooklyn Nets win the championship, do you understand there's no, like, sexier place in the United States in terms of ringing bells around the world? Do you know that courtside seats for the Knicks in the late 80s were going for $1,000, $1,500 a pop when you could get the best seat in Yankee Stadium for $100 and not much more than that for the best seat for the Giants? You were spending 10 times that to watch the Knicks courtside. That's how crazy about basketball New York is. Everyone thinks it's a baseball town because the Yankees had all that success. Naturally, New York is a basketball town. More in football, baseball, anything, it's a basketball town. Doesn't mean it's a Knicks town. It's a basketball town. Can you imagine if the borough of Brooklyn, you understand there are people in like England and China and all around the world named Brooklyn, it's such like it rings bells all around the world. What are courtside seats going to cost next year for a game? What do you think scalpers get if the Nets win the championship? What's it going to be, 10 G's for a courtside seat? Austin in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Worcester, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Go, Austin.
So my question is, are the Nets' defense this bad, or is it just the offense is so good that other teams are just having so much more opportunities on their offense?
It's that bad. It's that bad. Their defense per 100 possessions is historically bad. It's one of the worst ever. Yeah. And their offense per 100 possessions is one of the best ever. I think the defense, so it's not just an issue of pace. That's what you're asking. More points are scored, so it looks bad. No, it's fundamentally a broken defense, the Nets. However, there's reason for optimism. Number one, KD, when healthy, is a great defender. Number two, Harden's an underrated defender. He's an excellent post defender, and he can do some other things. He cares more about it now than he used to. Number three, Kyrie can be an excellent defender when he chooses. And number four, DeAndre Jordan, when last seen healthy on a court, was playing defense. He actually played very good defense, and he's capable of it. And then how many did I say? Four? I guess there's five. Defense is not just about hustle when the Nets have not been hustling. It's about communication. And because of limited practice and everything else, because of COVID, you're not going to be able just to throw it together that quickly. I mean, offensively, these guys are so talented. They're going to get a lot better, by the way, which is scary on offense. But on defense, they're still going to have to figure it out. And Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni, neither one, are really defensive-minded coaches. So I think the Nets, if DeAndre Jordan can't be that guy or can't be that guy for enough minutes, are going to have to make a move for a defensive stopper in the front court, at the five, really. And even if that's not a guy who's going to defend the rim, but at least a guy who's going to secure defensive rebounds and you know, dive on the ground for loose balls and stuff, they're going to have to probably do something like that. But that's a minor tweak. Like, that's something that'll be available without too much expense, you know, at the trade deadline, right? I think the Nets will be able to get the defense. As James Harden said, it's not like they have to be amazing. They just need to be average defensively. And I think they have the potential to at least be average defensively. And on the other hand, they not only have the potential, I'm telling you right now, I'm guaranteeing you right now, if the Nets stay healthy, they will be the greatest offensive team of all time by the end of this season. Rob from Arlington, Texas. People want to weigh in on this all over the country. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max, man?
That's New York right there. Rob, that's New York right there. I said Arlington, Texas, but you came on saying, what's going on, man? That's New York. Where you from, Rob?
You already know what it is, man. I'm born and raised in Queens. I just want to tell you first and foremost how much I enjoy you on the radio, how much I enjoy you on the First Take and ESPN and all the outlets.
Thank you, bro.
I want to tell you this right now. This poison that you've been spreading about the Knicks for the past few years is deserving me to the next level. I want to ask you a question. All those years, those Cubs fans was waiting for a championship. Mm-hmm. Was waiting over years and years for just to get a taste of the champagne. You mean to tell me it wasn't worth it? You mean to tell me that this shit was in 2008?
Rob, I'm telling you, of course it wasn't worth it. Hold up, Rob, time out. 100 years you want to wait? You want to wait 100 years? You want your grandkids to see the Knicks win a championship finally? No, that's not worth it. I'm saying that wait is not worth it. Blood, sweat, and tears. These Knicks fans I've been through it. I'm saying it's not worth it. You know what? I'll be a Knicks fan again when Dolan sells the team. That dude is never going to be they're never going to win a championship with that dude as the owner. They're dysfunctional. And this front office looks better than the last, and the last one there was hope for. But the bottom line is, at a certain point, Dolan gets in the way. No, I would say the Cubs fans that waited all those years for a single championship? No, not worth it. Nope. If I was in Chicago, I'd have become a White Sox fan. That's right. Not worth it. 100 years? Big Rob from Inglewood. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Whoop, Inglewood to no always up to no good. Hey, man, I just want to make 3 quick points right quick. Y'all must have forgot. My boy Kyrie Irving been a baller, homie. Even before LeBron James came back to the Cavs, the only reason he came back was because of Kyrie, and he knew that he could win a championship. Mm-hmm. And my other point is, I remember Kyrie hitting most of the big shots when the Cavs was on their way to win the championship.
Yep, he hit a lot of clutch shots.
I love Kyrie so much is he don't kiss LeBron James' butt like everybody else. And my last point is, last week LeBron James was crying about the All-Star game being pointless. If Kyrie Irving, if he would have did that, everybody would have been on his.
He don't have the credibility of LeBron. Hold up, Big Rob. First of all, I love this. Rob from Arlington, originally from Queens, was so New York, and Big Rob from Inglewood is so L.A. I love it. No, Kyrie does not have the standing of LeBron in the league. Kyrie is a killer, and he's a baller, but he ain't LeBron James. That's right. LeBron can get away with things Kyrie can't. That is true. Josh from Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing, my friend?
Good. How you doing? Go.
So I've never been to New York myself. So I don't, as far as I know, these aren't teams that are real big rivals or anything, but being a Michigan guy myself, and I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but I could just never see, you know, Michigan State, you know, getting hot and flipping like that.
Yep.
But if you're a fan, you're going to stick around.
No. See, everyone says that. Everyone got that wrong. I think Bill Simmons had one. Like, you get 40 years. There's like a 40-year rule, I want to say. I forgot exactly what it's like. And then you're allowed to switch teams. I put in my time with the Knicks. As long as Dolan owns the team, I'm done. And what really sealed it for me, where I was like, all right, I really can't come back till he sells the team, was the Oakley fiasco. You don't treat Charles Oakley like that. Could you imagine Paul O'Neill going up to Yankee Stadium, being escorted out of the stadium and everything? For what? For nothing. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up, I got a plan to fix the Jets. I know people in L.A. and Dallas are like, you're spending a lot of time on New York today. That is true. There's stuff going on. But there's stuff going on in L.A. There's stuff going on in New York. There's stuff going on in Portland. A lot of stuff going on. 2-year plan to fix the Jets. I'm going to tell you about it coming up. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. When it comes to hiring, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team and fast. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Jets fans, I can fix your team. I alone can fix your team. 2 years. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Axe Max is coming up in 15 minutes. Got a question for me? Hit me up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, we're going to get back to the NBA at the top of the hour. As the top seed in the Eastern Conference faced off against the top seed in the Western Conference last night. But first, the NFL draft is 2 months away. And I've got a way to fix the Jets in 2 years. Listen up. I touched on it yesterday. People are wondering, are the Jets going to land Deshaun Watson? And that would be a very good idea for the Jets because Deshaun Watson is foolproof. And that's what the Jets need, right? It's not a good organization. It's a bad organization. Although with Robert Saleh, you hope that maybe that's starting to change. So they ideally would have a quarterback that is not so reliant on coaching. You know, there's drafting and then there's development. And it wouldn't be so reliant on development because he'll be independently great. Very few quarterbacks would be independently great no matter where they are. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. There are a handful of them. A couple more. No matter where they go, they'd be great. Most quarterbacks, it's like Baker Mayfield. When the situation's not so good, he's not so good. When the situation's better, he's better. So I get the appeal of Deshaun Watson. The problem is, I don't think the Jets can land Deshaun Watson if Miami wants him. Well, the Jets have the number 2 pick in the draft and Sam Darnold. All right, would you rather have Darnold than the number 2 pick? Or would you rather have Tua and the number 3 pick? I'd rather have Tua and the number 3 pick. And if you're Deshaun Watson, you want to play in New York? for like every city that has two franchises, usually anyway, there's the Heritage franchise and the Clown franchise, right? Guess which one the Jets are in New York. Even when the Giants aren't going so well, they're still the Heritage franchise. They've won 4 Super Bowls. They've been to 5. And the Jets are the Clown franchise. Does Sean want to come to New York to play for the Clown franchise? Or do you think he'd like to go to Miami to play for, by the way, not a lot of African-American executives or coaches in the NFL, right? But it ain't the case in Miami. That's just the way it is. How's the weather in Miami? Is it a sexy destination? Of course. And usually, like the Jets, you'd be going into a terrible situation at first if you're Deshaun. But Miami, usually you have the third pick in the draft because you stink. Miami got it in a trade. So if you're Deshaun Watson, would you rather go to a place, even if they gave up their quarterback and the number 3 pick and more stuff, where they're ready to win a Super Bowl? With Deshaun, they'd be ready to win a Super Bowl today. If he got traded there today, Miami would be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Or would you rather go to the Jets and be part of a rebuilding prize? Right? See what I mean? And since he has a no-trade clause, Deshaun's going to have some say here. So let's just say they're out of the Deshaun Watson running, realistically, the Jets. What should they do? Well, they have a whole bunch of picks, right? They got the second overall pick. They got the 23rd pick, both, you know, 2 first-round picks. They have Seattle's first-round pick in the Jamal Adams trade. Next year, too, they got an extra third-round pick. They got a ton of draft capital. So what is that? 4 firsts and 3 thirds and a couple of seconds in the next 2 years? Woo, that's a lot of draft capital. And here's the thing. I say go get even more. Rebuild this whole damn thing. Get rid of everybody and start from scratch. Let Robert Saleh make the team in his own image. By the way, he's the guy I wanted the Giants to get when I thought they could have nabbed him. Not that I'm happy with Joe Judge so far. I think he's promising. But Saleh was the guy, one of the guys I was more interested in when the Giants were interviewing people. Jets got him. Let him have his own team. So what am I suggesting? You have 4 first-round picks in the next 2 years? Why not get more? Trade Sam Darnold for draft capital and reset the clock on the rookie deal with Justin Fields. I know people are down on Justin Fields right now, but I think that's an opportunity for the Jets. Justin Fields to start this college season, it was, okay, Trevor Lawrence was the presumptive guy, right? But there was a time early in the college football season where it was like, maybe Justin Fields, like maybe it's 1 and 1A, 1A and 1B. Justin Fields was right there. He was considered a Dak Prescott kind of player with more talent, with a higher ceiling. That's a hell of a player. And he had a couple of games where he didn't make the best decisions. It was a funky kind of year. I would not throw out the baby with the bathwater here. And he's not even going to be the second quarterback taken, most people think. Zach Wilson first? Maybe not even the third. You would think at least the third, but who knows? No, the Jets could trade down in the first round potentially, still wind up with Justin Fields. In the next 2 years, 4 firsts, 2 seconds, and 3 thirds as is. And then imagine what you can get for Darnold and by trading down out of the number 2 position. Well, you could wind up with 5 firsts, 3 seconds, and 3 thirds in the next 2 years. And only spend one of those picks, you could wind up with Justin Fields, 4 firsts, 3 seconds, and 3 thirds in the next 2 years, and put a team around that guy. That's what I'm talking about, Jets. You can miss out on Deshaun Watson and have a 2-year plan that sets the Jets up for the next decade. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, Axe Max. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they'll make things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up, Axe Max, as I mentioned, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Got a question for me? Hit me up at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Max.
All right. Your questions, my answers. Hey, you can make comments, too. Jay from Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go. What you got to ask me? Jay.
Man, I wasn't ready.
Not a rip-roaring start. We'll get back to Jay. Richard from Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, with all this gender equality going on in sports, why do the women in the major tournaments play the best of three and the men play the best of five?
You're talking about tennis?
Yes.
I couldn't give you a good answer to that. I guess it's the way it's been, I really couldn't give you a good answer. I don't know that men have more stamina. They're bigger and stronger. I don't know if they have more stamina, so I couldn't tell you. Especially in tennis, when the women's game is more interesting than the men's game. Once they went to graphite rackets, the men's game is just serve, 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 serve. The women play tennis. So I don't have a good answer for that. Mitch from New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I'm calling this year for the NBA Finals, the year of the second banana. The Clippers, that got scoring, they're the deepest team, and they play defense. I'm looking forward to the Clippers and Nets. You think it will happen?
I don't think the Clippers are going to get out of the West because of the Lakers, provided AD is healthy. You know, hey, that's serious. You start to hear Achilles tendinosis. Uh-oh. But if AD's healthy, look what Paul George has shown in his postseason career. Is he, like, it's one thing to just at least stay the same guy when the pressure's on. And if you're a great player, you will be known as clutch if you do that. Because even though you haven't elevated, since you're normally excellent, here it is when it's important and you're still excellent. There's some dudes who get better under pressure. Better. The insane thing about Michael Jordan, for example, was by every measurement, not just by reputation, when the going got tough, he got even better. And he was already the best ever. Mariano Rivera, same thing. Best relief pitcher of all time. But in the playoffs, he clearly got better. His ERA was one-third what it was in the regular season in a huge sample size. Some guys can do that. But then there's Paul George. Just stay the same guy, Paul George. He's not quite a superstar. He's like the next thing to it normally. But under pressure, he's not the next thing to a superstar. He's not even an all-star in the playoffs, really. He's an above-average starter in the playoffs. And until I see otherwise, I can't pick them to get past the Lakers when that's their second-best player. Curtis from Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how are you doing, Max? Just calling to get your insight on if you feel like Blake Griffin would be a good fit for the Lakers. You know, thinking that, you know, you don't want to go back to the Clippers, but, you know, we are in need of some big bodies down low. Thinking if you think
what is Blake Griffin
would be good with.
Nah, what does Blake really do at this point? Like, I said this on First Take today. I will tell my grandkids about Blake Griffin as a young player. You know, missed his rookie year to injury. He came out his second season, his real rookie season. And on that Clippers team, I don't know if I'd ever seen anything quite like him. He was like Sean Kemp. He was unbelievable. As a dunker, it was ridiculous. And I thought he was going to be an all-time great power forward. Jalen Rose brought it up on Countdown on ESPN the other day. Blake Griffin hasn't dunked since 2019. I'm not saying one of the best. He hasn't dunked the basketball since 2019. He's not a defender. He shoots a bunch of threes, but he doesn't make them efficiently. What does he do? What is it that Blake Griffin does? Zoe from Stony Brook in New York. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I heard your comments about how to rebuild the Jets. My thinking is you could bring the best players at every position out of the draft, the number one player for every position, and Jets will turn them into number 30 or number 40.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're right. But don't you think, weren't you encouraged by Robert Saleh's press conference and by his resume? Like, I agree with you normally. It's not just drafting. It's development. The Jets will make these guys underperform. They won't develop to their full potential at the very least. But I don't know. When you have a good head coach, that can change. All gas, no brakes. That's got to be the hope for Jets fans anyway. Henry from East Hartford.
Hey, Max. How you doing, man? I respect your show. I respect you as a man. You're a good dude.
Thank you, brother.
I just wanted to say that I'm a little upset because of the fact that how is it that we can watch a hockey game on regular TV, but you got to have cable to watch an NBA game? The NBA makes so much more money than hockey, and we can't even watch playoff games unless it's on TNT. You would think that they would do something to help the younger kids who can't afford cable or afford Wi-Fi to watch it on regular TV. I don't understand why.
Well, here's one reason. Because basketball is more popular. So if you want to build up your business, it's not like cable networks make money just by charging for advertising. They charge the cable operator, whatever cable system it is, Time Warner, Cox, whatever it is. They charge the carriers dollars per box, right? So if whatever network it is clears 100 million homes or 50 million homes, and they're a really good network that the fans want, they can charge the cable operators $5, $6 a box times 50 million a year. You're into a quarter billion, half a billion dollars a year. What did I just say? 50 million times, yeah. You're into $2.5, $3 billion a year before you sell a commercial. And the NBA helps drive that because it's very popular. Hockey is not as popular. And that may be one reason. Coming up, is there a double standard in the NBA? Plus, Draymond Green thinks so. Andre Snellings joins me. I always enjoy that. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.